Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 226.
Hello.
My name is Chris Furcio. I am here with Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And that was very sensual, Jeff.
I know.
And Travis Baum.
Welcome to the goo.
Hello.
That wasn't sensual, it just sounded like you had a cold.
I am a little allergied up today. It got cold, so I got allergies. I don't know.
Hey, what are we talking about today? We're talking about Kickstarters.
Football.
Football, that's right. We've been talking about that a lot lately. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Kickstarter projects and, you know, if they're just kind of a fad or if they're going to actually bleed into the mainstream. Before that, we're going to do distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week that we have prepared this week, believe
it or not. Which I'm sure the listeners don't really care because we usually they're not here while we're sitting here for 45 minutes being like, fuck, what are we going to talk about?
I just broke that fourth wall, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
God damn it. I hate when
asshole.
I do that. I know. I suck.
Soon they're going to find out this isn't live. We're not in the same place. We're in different countries.
Wait, you mean we're not on the radio right now?
Live? No.
Cool. Well, Jeff, what's up, man? How you been?
I've been okay. What'd I do last week? Oh, I went and saw Hunger Games last
cool.
Sunday.
What'd you think?
That was good. I mean, it was all right. I mean, I compared it to Battle Royale, which I thought it wasn't as good as, but it's still...
Yeah.
It was still entertaining.
Yeah, and that's what it's kind of based off of. Yeah. I mean, even though the author says that she didn't know about it, but that's like, you know, that's
it's
like...
It's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Sort of. The main premise, anyway, the whole, like, the reasoning behind the whole thing is not, but... definitely cool. I mean, I could tell just by watching the movie that the books probably go into way more detail, because...
A little bit.
Yeah, and there's a few things missing... but it's not a whole lot. I mean, my wife is really picky about book to movie translations, and she really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
And I watched the movie first, and that got me to read the book, and I really enjoyed the book and the movie. So I want to see the movie again, actually. So, I think it does a pretty good job. And, you know, if you're into that, if you're interested in reading the book, it's only like 250 pages long.
Oh, we have it here. Tanya's like already like halfway through the second one.
Yeah, I just finished the second one today, actually, and started the third one. So they're really quick reads. I mean, I am a very, very slow reader. I haven't taken any time away from my normal gaming time. I've been just like squeezing in reading time when I can. And since I saw the movie like 2.5 weeks ago, I've gone through the first two books.
So, okay. Yeah, see, I might do that. Yeah, I might try to do that because my reading time is usually my commute to work, which is about, and even though it was only about 30 minutes back then, it's only about 15 minutes now, and that's just like, it's hardly any time at all.
I would bet you could get through about a chapter in about 15 minutes.
That wouldn't be bad then.
Maybe. I'll do that. Depends on how fast you read. I can't because I read really, really slow, but
yeah.
I think that like every chapter is like 10 pages. So I would think that like a typical person could probably get through the first chapter, like a chapter in about 15 minutes.
Gotcha.
So
I will say that I don't really get too much of the hype of people saying it's a great movie though, because it's just my biggest issue with it was a lot of the characters in it you just don't care about except for the main one. Like you really don't like any of the other kids that are thrown into this thing, you don't give a shit about because you get no time with them at all.
Where the books help a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, what I figured. That's
the
why it separates
book
I think
is really,
from
the second book is really good about getting you interested in the characters. But the first book, I mean, besides the main characters, you know, the only other person in the arena besides, you know, Katniss and PETA that I actually gave a damn about was Rue.
Yeah.
And they make you, you know, they put you in that spot where you're going to be, you know, you get attached to Rue.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing in the book, too. So.
See, I didn't get the attachment in the movie with Rue at all. I mean, they show her a couple times, like, her following around, whatever, and that's about it. There's not really any kind of, I don't know, interaction between the two. But, like Tony said, and like everyone says, like, there's a lot more of her in the book. And her partner and stuff, and...
Well, maybe you have
lines.
A heart made of wood.
Maybe.
It's not that. It's just that, like I said, this Battle Royale did such a better job. And I know it's not like they're the same movie or anything, but the same premise. It did, like, you got connected to those characters, even though the time with them wasn't necessarily longer than they were in this movie. But I don't know. I like the movie. I just don't see what everyone's like just going, like, ape shit for it. I'm like, yeah, it was good, but it didn't like blow me away or nothing.
Well, there's different degrees of ape shit though, because you have the teenies,
like the Twilight,
who are, like, just going ape shit over the boys in the movie. You have the book purists who are saying, well, that was actually a good adaptation to the book, so they're shitting a brick because of that. Because I mean, you get that as much as you can. I mean, you'll take that in as much as you can because that doesn't happen too often.
Right.
And then you have the people who don't read the books. They're like you, like, well, it was a good, that was a serviceable movie. It was good.
Yeah, definitely good. Like, definitely worth the money. It wasn't like I was like, oh, I wish I rented that one. It was entertaining. But, yeah, I liked it. I mean, it got me interested in reading the books, so.
Yeah.
It did something.
And that's where I am, too. I mean, I'm not going to say it's like, oh my gosh, it's the best movie ever, because it's not. But it was a good movie, and the subject and the idea of what could possibly happen in the next two books is what got me interested in reading them.
So. Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that happens later on. And Gary Ross isn't directing the next one. He stepped down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's not doing the second movie, so.
I got to think the second movie is going to have a bigger budget. Because the budget on this movie was not that much. It was like, I think they said like $50 million. And they tripled it. They tripled it on the first weekend.
That's crazy.
So, you know, they said they made more on the first weekend than like John Carter did in its entirety or something like that.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Something like that. Well, the director obviously doesn't like money.
I was going to say, it's like if it's successful and it's
money.
That scares me then. Are they just going to, because they have a big budget, just going to try to throw a big name like director on it now just to be like... You know, here's Steven Spielberg directing the second fucking Hunger Games movie.
I think they did a good job with it, and they need to keep who they've got. So
yeah. But, I agree. I will probably purchase that on the Blu-rays when it does come out.
Yeah,
I would watch it again, maybe twice again.
Maybe twice.
Yes. Other than that, you know, same old. You know, work, living the life. You know, that you know, fun.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, fuck. I pulled up my fucking back yesterday. Like, I was doing, like, a workout. This sucks because I actually pulled it, like, between doing exercises. And it was one of those things where, like, I felt something, like, move. And all of a sudden, my whole upper back just kind of tensed up. And I couldn't stand up straight for a second. I was like, oh, my God. It's like, slip a disc or something like that. That was my biggest fear.
Slipped a disc.
I know. Hey, and I was like, oh, I can't start having back problems. It's terrible, but what?
You're old.
No, it's his muscle. It's definitely
it's official.
Not a spine
You're
issue.
Old, man.
Oh man, it was official.
No,
three years ago.
It's official. The second you say, I think I slipped.
Slipped
disc.
A disc. Yeah.
I don't care what it is. It could have been a sneeze. You're old. You said slipped a disc.
Yeah. Luckily, it's definitely a muscle thing. But I have problems now turning my head to the left or to the right too far. My left arm moving around. But it really fucking sucks. Because yesterday, I'll get into more of
Did Tanya get you a cane?
she should.
I'm not gonna lie, I think Jeff's having a stroke.
It's a
left side of your face feel funny.
Oh man. Well, to make matters worse, after that, I'm like, fuck it. I'm gonna play some like video games. I poked out my 360 arcade stick and figured out that was fucking broken.
Oh.
I'll go into that more when we talk about distractions.
Is that the one that you let Glenn borrow? Oh, sorry.
No, physically it looks fine.
Oh, okay.
Just, yeah.
So Glenn didn't borrow it. Okay, cool.
No. That's it, man. Other than my terrible day yesterday, it's been okay.
All right. Travis, what's up, man?
Nothing really, dude. I am just working. That's it. Nothing.
That sounds exciting as hell.
It's not. I applied to my college choice and paid my $25 application fee and is waiting for my acceptance letter.
Where's that? Where was that?
Georgia Gwinnett College.
Okay.
So I decided to just go straight into the – and this is the first year they're accredited because they've been – they just got past their fourth year, so they're officially accredited. And,
at our age, though, do you still have to get accepted into those things? Can you just be like, listen, like at this age, though, do you still have to get accepted into schools? Or is it more like
I get accepted into the school, but they're gonna realize the fact that I'm
you're an adult and
not gonna get grants and stuff, so I'm going to, I mean, it's not like Harvard where you have to have like certain prerequisites. The prerequisite for a school like this is, can you pay us money?
that's what I mean. I mean, most of these prerequisites are like that and they go through screen process because a lot of kids like, well, apply to these schools and just not do anything. So I figured, you know, if you're like, you know, 30 years old, late 20s, I figure you should be a responsible adult. If you got the money, go for it. You're not going to be, you know, fucking around.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. So, but that was it. Apply to school, waiting for an answer.
Cool. Good luck.
Waiting for my letter in the mail.
Good luck.
So
make sure to bang lots of hotties.
Yo.
What's up, dude?
Dude, I had such a good week.
Oh, yeah?
I had a fucking great week. I had a great Easter. You know, it was my son's birthday.
Then.
You know, we had a great time with him. We took him to the zoo, and he had a great time. And we had, like, a little birthday party for him on Saturday. It was just a fucking awesome weekend. It really was. And it was really nice because he's been to the zoo once before, but it was, like, last year. And You know, he didn't really know what was going on. But now he, like, can say all the animals and shit. So he's like, elephant, elephant! And he gets so excited and starts flailing. It's the best thing ever. Yeah, it's just awesome.
Yeah, I love how you're using Liam as a metaphor for you. You're like, yeah, monkeys! Monkeys! Best look at the monkeys!
God damn, you totally got me on that.
He's putting his finger in his butt. His butt.
Putting his finger in his... Now he's sniffing it! Now he's sniffing it!
It's like that YouTube video!
Crystal, come look at this. This is the greatest thing you see all week.
But yeah, I mean, we had a, you know, it was a really, really good
like
time.
On board.
And then last night I got to record with Gamers Only Older because Scott decided to take the week off because, you know, the guys are going to talk about Mass Effect.
Because he's like, he's actually less, he's like, not, I'm further than him in Mass Effect 3.
I think that's accurate.
Yep.
And which is bad because I think I've lapped you now.
Yeah, you have. Probably.
But yeah, I mean, all around it's been a good weekend. So it's been a good week so far, and I'm hoping that it continues. But now we're going to talk about some all games. Right. So, Jeff, what's distracting you, man?
Oh, man.
Say it.
Mass Effect 3?
Yes!
Yay!
Yeah, I think it doesn't have its hooks in me so much where I need to like play it any free time I have, but it's definitely fucking ranked up the pace, that's for sure. Some cool shit's happened the last two times I sat down.
So where are you right now?
You got past like the first "oh my god" moment. I know that because I saw your reaction on Twitter.
Yeah. My first "oh my god" moment was a big "oh my god" moment. My reaction on Twitter was something like, "it was like, yeah, I was like, ah, no," yeah, and then Mass Effect 3 or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
That's
what
how
it was.
That was my reaction too, pretty much.
Yeah, and then literally about 2 hours later, I had another "oh no," and then I'm like, "oh my god, this is getting crazy."
Are the hooks in? Is this all you're playing now?
No, it's definitely not all I'm playing. In fact, thing is, those games I like to have at least, I need to have more than an hour to play them. I need to.
Really?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, I'm saying before it's like my Friday night if we're not doing anything game or Saturday or Sunday during the day type thing. So, but yeah, it's definitely like the story's getting a lot better now.
And there's more of that.
I know.
It gets better. If you keep on lallygagging, you're not and everything. Chris, I'm just going to say it. I guess Jeff is not going to finish Mass Effect 3.
You guess?
I guess.
That was a really bad joke.
You get it?
Yeah.
Hey, credit Megan to that one. It was actually her joke.
Okay. So if it's a bad joke, you pawn it off on Megan?
Oh, Tanya's.
That's pretty much it.
Tanya's way further than I am. I think
surprised
she's
you haven't used that one before now.
I don't know. I just heard it.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets better, dude. And
oh, I know.
Man. So, I'm playing my Renegade playthrough, and, you know, now that I've finished part one and part two going the Renegade route, you are so much more of a dick on the third one. It's ridiculous.
I've done some Renegade stuff in three that I figured shouldn't really be Renegade stuff. I'm like, who wouldn't do this in that situation?
Oh, I did too. Like, and that's the thing. That was why this, like, that's why my first Shepherd was my Shepherd.
Yeah,
and,
he's
and
to whatever.
My Renegade Shepherd is, okay, I am going Renegade to try Shepherd. And play this character the way I think she would play it. You know, she's all about survival of Earth, and she's doing everything that she can to do that, and she doesn't give a shit who gets in her way, but she's going to do everything she can to get the allies that she needs to save Earth. But she doesn't care who she steps on to do it. And that's kind of the way I'm playing it. So,
don't you feel like you have to do the opposite shit of what you did before, though? Like, this one Renegade moment, without spoiling anything, I want to say, like, you guys have all done it. It's a very obvious thing. The Renegade thing pops up first, and my first reaction was, who wouldn't do this? Of course I did it. Like, I just figured you'd do what I would do in this situation. But if I were to play a Renegade playthrough, I'd probably want to wait and not do this one just to see how this turns out. Because it's a certain situation where I don't know how it could turn out a different way. I'll be more specific.
Is it like a Renegade interrupt?
It's a Renegade interrupt, yeah.
Okay, is it the one on the Citadel?
Yes.
Yeah, I did that.
I wonder what happens if you don't do that.
I could tell you. I'll tell you on break what happens.
Okay. But so you've done it?
No, I haven't, but I made the assumption, and then the assumption was confirmed.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
It's basically the same outcome, different culprit.
That's what I figured. What I figured. It would be someone else, not you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Yesterday, when I was recording with Adam and Leo, I was getting the hint of how different things can be based on the characters that survived part two.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, if Thane doesn't survive, some shit happens, well, dude.
Yeah, I miss some see, some that's serious shit, but something happened to me that wouldn't happen to someone who had Thane live.
Right.
Well, yeah, I had Thane live, and this I'm just after something that happens involving Thane. It was freaking awesome. And
wasn't that great?
It was fucking rad, but I want to know how that. Yeah, that because that's a big chunk of something that happens.
Yes,
with Thane in it. And I want to know what happens if Thane isn't in your game.
I
what the fuck
that
happens in that time?
Yeah, because okay.
I will tell you Thane that.
I would like to know that because I hope they don't just do a fucking character switch or something like that because that would be kind of a cop out. Okay, good.
Nope.
But yeah, other than Mass Effect 3, some DLC came out in the form of a patch. For Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Oh, they fixed the sound issues, right?
Kind of.
They, so they're not 100% fixed?
They're not 100% fixed. They're still there, but it's very, very more. It's way more sporadic. But this funny thing is, when the patch came out, I was actually playing with Aces, and I didn't even notice. Like, you get so used to it, I guess, because you play so many hours. I totally didn't even pay attention. Like, the first, like, week, I was like, man, it's so annoying how the sound, like, cuts out. Like, why do they do this? But then, like, the second week, you're kind of like, you totally forget about it. You just get used to timing and stuff and whatever. So I didn't even notice. But the next day, I was like, hey, I'm going to try to pay attention to sound. And, yeah, it's still there, just definitely not even close. It was frequent, so it's not too bad. They also patched some other stuff regarding gems and stuff, but I don't really touch the gem stuff much. What else did I play? Oh, King of Fighters 13.
Oh, wow. Did you buy it?
I bought it, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because watching a couple of tournaments that have happened in the last couple of weeks, like online, I'm like, this game looks really fun to play. And I'm sure it is, if you're a fucking stick ninja. Because that game is, as Jason put it, it's a young man's game. It's like, you gotta have reflexes, and really fast ones. Because the execution needed in this game to pull off the cool stuff, or like the good combos, have to be like dead on and really quick.
The margin of error is a lot smaller in a lot of cases.
Yeah, a lot smaller. And but the thing is, the game looks so good. Like compared to 12, it's almost like night and day. Like it's like 12 had really good animation, but I thought the sprites looked terrible. They were very like Alias and kind of jaggy. It was like they.
So did they fix that, or did they just put like a filter on it?
Oh no, they totally fixed it. It looks like they were totally like redrawn or re-rendered, one or the other. Like I wouldn't want to say they're redrawn because they still look the same. They just look way much higher quality, but it's not blurry quality. It's like a nice clear. Like it's still got a little bit of aliasing, but I mean it's a hand-drawn fighting game. So it's gonna have that. But right. It definitely plays smoother.
How's that online?
Well, this is the thing. going back to the stick thing, I didn't play any online. I was just sticking to basically training room and trials and trying to get the hang of some characters. And I was like, well, fuck, I need to try this online before we talk about it. Because 12 was just terrible. It was like, it was unplayable. You couldn't play it online and do like anything. So, I actually got Blue Steel to jump online with me and, we started playing. And at first I was like, dude, this is really fucking laggy. And he was like, really? He's like, it's not too bad for me. He's like, it's actually one of the better connections. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, he's kicking my ass, and I can't pull off anything. Like I'm pushing forward on the stick, and nothing's happening, and I push forward again, and it finally moves. I hit a button, nothing happened, hit a button again, something will happen. So I'm like, okay, well, this lag's pretty fucking bad. And then I go to the character select screen, and all of a sudden, the stick goes crazy. Like, the cursor on the screen just starts going nuts. I'm like, I'm not even touching the stick, and it's moving to the right. So I'm like, oh, God, something's wrong with my stick. It's not lag at all. So we fight another match, and I'm testing stuff out, hitting buttons, nothing's happening. Jumping and it won't jump, or I hit jump and it keeps jumping. So I'm like, fuck off. So then I put in Street Fighter Cross Tekken and the same shit was happening. And then I just on the Xbox dashboard it started happening. So basically something's wrong with my my fight stick. So
that sucks.
I couldn't get a good feel of the online. I will say though, even though my stick was busted, I could tell just from that it was better than King of Fighters 12 online. So yeah, it wasn't like it was dropping frames. It wasn't like it was crazy like teleport issues or anything like that. It was just that I thought there was big input lag. But Blue was saying he was fine. He was like I could hear it through his mic, so he'd be like, hey, I'm hitting a button and I'd see it happen. He'd seem pretty responsive. So it seems to be a lot better than 12. I can't say for certain now. I have to test it out again, maybe with a pad or whatever.
And what stick is this one that's messing up?
It's the TE stick.
The TE
stick. Yeah. And the thing is, my guide button was always like that. It was kind of funky. And then just now it's just every button on it. So I talked to Jason and Scott about it because they're like the stick gurus, and they say it's probably one issue, like probably like the USB input, the PCB board, or something that's not communicating, I guess, with the buttons and the inputs and stuff like that. So I have to look into that because I really don't want to spend $200 on getting another stick because
no, you don't.
Expensive. No. But it sucks though because now I don't really have King of Fighters to mess around with because I think it would be a fun game to play with people who are like on your skill level, which is like for me right now none. Because if you both don't know what you're doing, it's always fun. But man, that game, man, it's but it looks so good. The characters are awesome. The moveset's pretty cool. Just so much shit to know in that game, and it would just come down to learning it and sitting down with it and spending time with it. But there's too many like Street Fighter Cross Tekken, I still love that. And the other game I touched on really briefly this morning, I won't go into too much details. That's Skullgirls.
I was gonna ask you if you picked that up.
Yeah, I didn't buy it yet. I think I'm going to just to support the devs, if anything, because those who are listening, it's made by a couple of guys who are actually in the fighting game scene,
right?
Like Tournament Stuff, they actually like designed it and did the art for it and everything, all that stuff. And it's it plays a lot like, I would compare it to like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Blaze Blue, kind of like a hybrid of the two of them, because it's like tag team gameplay, but a little bit more frantic than MVC 2 on a basic level, but. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I'm out.
Yeah, it's, if you don't like the tag team.
I've heard the same thing, but I heard it's a lot more approachable.
Yeah, that's what I think, because I think Blaze Blue in general is a little bit more approachable than MVC 2, to actually, like, get, like, pretty decent at it, but Skullgirls seems more accessible. It has a really good tutorial mode, even the trial. I think it has 5 of the tutorials unlocked in the trial, and they teach you actually game mechanics. It's not just, here, do these moves, or here, do this, these sets of combos. It's like, this is how you cross somebody up. Like, this is how this is what a mix-up is. This is what, like, what a rush down. Like, these are your options to do here and here. It's really, really, it actually teaches you how to
fighting game 101, basically.
That's exactly what it is.
That's really good, actually.
Yeah, like it's that. Really cool. And I was like, this is actually, like, really awesome. Down part is, apparently it's missing a lot of basic stuff. Like, there's no command list in the game. So you can't just go to training mode, hit, and look at a command list.
Yeah, I heard they were going to fix that, though.
They said they're going to, depending on how well it does, they're going to patch it in.
Okay.
So,
how many characters? I heard that it's like, there's only the best looking 2D game there is.
See, I think it's good looking, but I don't know if I'd put it above Blaze Blue or even King of Fighters 13. Because both those games are really good for hand-drawn art. Like, I know.
Yeah, I mean, are you saying, like, best looking 2D game in the fighting genre or in general?
In the fighting, best 2D fighter. Best looking 2D fighter.
Yeah, it definitely looks good. It's just I don't know if it's personal preference, but when I see Blaze Blue, I'm like, damn, this is like fucking gorgeous. When I see Skullgirls, I'm like, it's a great looking game. It's just not.
Yeah, because you know, Blaze, but the sequel Continuum Shift is.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good looking game.
Oh yeah, for sure. And, yeah. And King of Fighters 12 is also really really good looking, but. Yeah, no, it's I played a bit of it. Did some of the, like, you know, some training, did the tutorial stuff. The AI in that game is fucking crazy. On normal, it kicked the shit out of me, like straight up. And usually on normal in fighting games, you can at least win the first match by hitting like one button over and over again, like if you just wanted to. But they throw everything at you at the very beginning. I was like, damn. But it seemed pretty cool. No, there's also no spectator mode when you're doing online.
Ah.
So there's lobbies, but there's no, you can't watch the other people fight while you're waiting, which is a big mistake.
Yeah, it's huge. When is this going to be standard? Like, I'm not even in a fighting game. I mean, I'm going to get back into a Street Fighter Cross Tekken, like, when the Vita version comes in, but, like,
yeah.
But, like, when is this going to be standard?
The thing is, there's so many different excuses. Like, Capcom said, when everyone did it with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, this has something to do with the way the netcode is done. They just couldn't do it, so they waited for Ultimate to come out. Street Fighter was, like, the same way. They had to wait for Super Street Fighter. The guys who did Skullgirls, they said it was, because Skullgirls runs on GGPO, the online.
Right.
So it's, like, the same as, like,
Blaze Blue.
Like, Street Fighter. Well, no, Blaze Blue is similar to it, but it's not. No, it's, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. And they said it was a GGPO issue. That's why there was no lobbies or no spectator mode. But Street Fighter 3 is on GGPO, and that has lobbies and
is
spectator
it because
mode.
They're indie dev, maybe? Is that...
I think it, they might have ran out of time and maybe money at the time. They did say, though, they're going to work on, also, again, depending on how well it sells, they're going to look at patching it in. But I know for especially the people who play fighting games with us all the time, like every Thursday night fights, if there's no spectator mode, the games don't tend to last more than 2 weeks regularly. Because like Marvel's Capcom 3, same thing happened. After about 2 weeks, of playing it, a lot of people just stop playing online with all of us because when you're just sitting there waiting for your turn, you can't even see what's going on. It's like, okay, wait. And you learn a lot by watching other people play. So it's hopefully they get that in there. Because other than that, it seems pretty, like, I mean, it's going to be in the tournaments. It's probably going to be at Evo. And this is like an indie game based. Well, it's being published by Konami. But it's like these guys just put this game together in a few years. And they're fighting game like experts, right? They know what people want, how the game should play. And it's pretty
except
pretty
for spectator mode.
Except for spectator mode. That's what makes me think it's got to be totally to be time because they should have known right from the get go like this is something that's needed. And there is only 8 characters too. But I mean, if it sells well, who's to say like DLC wouldn't be down the line or something like that? And 8 does look really small when you compare it to something like Street Fighter Cross Tekken that launched with 38. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, check out the trial. It's $15 if you want to buy it. I'm going to do it, whether or not I stick to it, because I can't play too many fighting games at one time, because then you just kind of forget what game you're playing, and muscle memory is getting older. You don't have enough room to have all that much like memory in your mind, so different fighting games, but anything for support.
You learn a fighting game, and you forget math.
That's, dude, it's pretty much the way it works.
2+2 is fuck!
Exactly. Hadouken, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Frame trapped, yo. Option selects. But yeah, that's basically it. I also threw in SSX 3 a couple times just to, you know, to chill while I'm in bed, like while I'm just, you know, waiting to watch TV to fall asleep or whatever. And couple runs of that game. That game's so good. If you stay within the fun parts of the game, it's really good. Just don't do that fucking...
You stay in the designated fun areas of the game.
Yeah,
the game
just stay
fun.
Away from that the danger ones, whatever the hell they're... I can't even remember what they're called. I've just been...
Too many fighting game commands. You didn't know what the game is called. You also called it SSX 3.
That's right.
Oh my god, it did too. Wow. Yeah, SSX. Wow, I did. Jesus.
Yeah, I played Spy Hunter. It was awesome.
That's it though, man.
Cool.
No one of you Travis. Guys. What have you guys been playing?
Let's see. Chris, it is official. You need to pick up Corpse Party right away. I was playing it more, and I am just completely enamored with that game. It's just more of that adventure game flair with a nice twist of horror. And I mentioned it the last time I talked about it, but I need to reiterate, this game is freaking downright spooky. And I've never gotten this from a handheld system before. So
now, Corpse Party is available on PS3 as well. Is this a PSN game
that works
on both?
Is it on PS? Can it work on PS?
I think it is. Yeah.
I need if that's the case. Sure, I need to try that because I would love to play this on the big screen too. It's really good. They do a great job at music. A great job with text. The audio is something that's getting me a little on and off in terms of like the voice acting. Because here's the deal. Historically, when a Japanese game includes like, you know, the Japanese voiceovers, I'm like, good, awesome. I like hearing the Japanese voiceovers. And a lot of games, it's in the past, the majority of the Japanese voiceovers were even better than like a lot of the English voiceovers.
Oh god. Yeah.
But nowadays, I think that's starting to change for me. Point being, the game does a great job at like keeping me into it, getting my face right close to that screen for the next scare to just like push me back. You know, that game is just really good at that. But they use the original Japanese voiceovers, and it kind of takes me out of the experience because the majority of the characters are these high school girls, you know, genuine Japanese high school girls with the whole like schoolgirl outfit and everything, and they just get really, really squeaky and noisy, and it's that very, very, I want to say, I mean, to them it's kind of normal, but to us it's that very cliche, I'm a lassie Japanese aggravating voice. Exactly. And that really, really takes me out because sometimes they'll talk normal, but then they'll get in a situation where, I mean, their life is in danger, but they're talking all loud and giggly, and it just really takes me out. And this is a game where I feel that it would really, really benefit from some English voiceovers or maybe some British voiceovers or something like that because it really takes me out this time around. And the reason I feel more that way is the last year or two, we've been seeing some fantastically localized in terms of the text and in the voiceover department. And I think games like Xenoblade Chronicles really, really pushes that point too, because that's probably some of the best voice acting in a Japanese role-playing game. It's weird, because one of those points that they use the European voice actors in the English version. So they're all British and very foppish and everything. And, you know, some voiceovers get overused and everything, and it can get old. Yeah, but that's almost every game. But like, it's almost, Xenoblade's almost to the point where I want every JRPG to have British voice actors, period. Like, it's that good. It's, it just seems almost right. But back to Corpse Party, I just think that game would benefit from a little more realistic English voice acting. I think it would have been a lot better there. But regardless of that, there are no issues with the game. Like, you know, it's very 16-bit. It brings you that sense of nostalgia, and then it just gets brutal. Like, when some people die, I mean, they're just getting torn to shit, and it's kind of amusing because half of these characters are kind of aggravating as shit. So that's Corpse Party. What else have I been playing? I just can't stop playing Dark Souls. Jumped into a little more New Game Plus, and that's getting a little too hard, so I don't think I'm going to mess with that Shank 2. That joint was free on the PSN through PlayStation Plus this month.
Yeah, I missed that.
It's Shank 1. They didn't fix any of the issues.
Really?
Like, it's still overcomplicated. I think it's almost too difficult for its own good. Mm-hmm. A game like this, I would really, really enjoy breezing through. You know, they give you a normal and a hard mode. Just give us an easy mode so those people who don't have too much time in the game to just breeze through it.
Yeah, just to see, let us enjoy it.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, the cutscenes are fun. The storylines, I mean, believe it or not, semi interesting. Like, you kind of want to help these people. You're involved. The character of Shank is very Antonio Banderas in Desperado. Cool, you know, just that very very cool. Not like evilly stoic, I guess, the way I can kind of explain. He's very collective, and he's a great character. I love him. I want to play through the game, but the game is just too hard for its own good. Make it easy, guys. Just give us an easy mode and let's breeze through it.
Stop sucking less, Travis.
No, that game is fucking brutal. I finished Cinemora, and I can't finish Shank. Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, you would think on paper, the 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up or the bullet hell shmup, which one is Travis going to finish first? You would think.
That depends. Is the bullet hell shmup Infinite Continues?
No, not really. I forgot I played that too. I'm in the last stage, and that last stage is pretty fucking hard.
It's pretty tough. And on that Cindy Moore tip, you can catch my review on interactivedistractions.com. Check it out.
It's a website.
It is. arguably.
Yeah, that's right.
There'd be reviews on that site.
Speaking of Dark Souls, did you guys know that they found an Infinite Soul exploit for Dark Souls as well?
Not surprising.
Oh, and I didn't use it?
I might.
No.
I need to find that.
To be honest, I might.
I need to find that quick. Shank 2, like I said, it's fun, but man, it's just that fucking game is hard,
too much difficulty does not sound fun to me. That's why I stopped playing the first one. I was like, this game is like too hard, it's not fun. And I was like, nah, fuck it.
Yep,
I do not want to invest memorization of where shit's coming from in this game. I want to go through and slice people up.
Yeah.
Shank
a bitch.
Exactly.
So the other game, another big free game on PlayStation Plus this week is the PS1 old school Silent Hill original. That's a good ass game, man. I'm like, I just finished through the school, and I mean, so I'm like a good 2 hours into it. I can definitely tell after playing that game, you know, long ago, I still kind of remember where everything's at. Uh-huh. And that game's not going to be very long.
Like, I never beat it. So.
I just remember it being like longer, and I already feel that I'm like almost halfway through the game.
That game was one of the first PSN game or PlayStation games. So that was like when games started to get really long. Before that, games weren't that long at all.
Yeah, and it's got those old, you know, archaic tank controls that, you know, were very evident and famous in like Resident Evil and Silent Hill and whatnot. But that game is really, really great. I mean, that is survival horror, you know, not only at its origin, but almost at its best. Like, because I'm playing through this game, I'm, you know, 10, 15 years later, and just getting, you're just experiencing fear because they do, I mean, and you really take for granted, like, you know, I mean, because lighting in games is awesome now. You know, look at Uncharted, look at a lot of other games. Lighting is amazing. You know, for that tech at that time, the things they do with lighting is impressive. Really, really impressive. Because, I mean, they couldn't really render lighting back then, right? I mean, that's not something they could do.
It was all done, like, through software.
Yeah, it's impressive. I was sitting there looking at the lighting. And, of course, it's PS1 graphics. It is dated, yes. But, I mean, for the time, I was impressed. And the game's still scary as shit, like, to this day. So, And I'm even playing on easy. Go figure. So, and then more Lord of the Rings, War in the North. That's a pretty good game, man. I'm not gonna lie. I'm enjoying my time with that.
It's fun. It's a good loot grab.
Yeah, just constantly changing your outfits. I just got past Rivendell, so it was cool to kind of talk to everybody from the movies and everything. Even talk to some people that are from like the previous Lord of the Rings, both the Hobbit books and everything, because some of those characters pop up. So it was cool to see that as well. And I actually have me a co-op partner, a buddy of mine at work. He has the game as well. So, I mean, we're going to jump on that joint and play it co-op for the rest of the way, because he's gonna catch up to me and play through, because he only played like the first hour. So he's going to catch up with me. And then once he's at my point in Riverdale, we're going to start venturing forth as a fellowship of our own. So I'm enjoying that game. I'm pretty sure I'll be Tolkien about it in the future.
Was that Megan's too?
No, that was all me.
Oh, my God.
That was a Travis original. Right,
you guys are so right for each other with your shitty jokes.
That was pretty funny, though. I love cheese like that.
But that's it for me, guys. Chris, drop it.
I'm done.
You were thinking about that all day, too, weren't you? That wasn't one of the things you just thought of, was it?
No,
he had that one his back.
Yeah, no, you thought it. Yeah, I bet you when Megan said that, that's what got the hamster rolling.
So nothing else, Chris? Nothing for you?
No,
you didn't go back to Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 1 or anything?
No.
No, I'm trying to get through Chronicles.
I'm trying to get through Mass Effect 3 so I can play Witcher next week.
Yes. Oh, that's next week. So pumped.
I'm trying to blitz through the rest of my Mass Effect 3 because I want to finish it again.
Did you see the new intro that they added to the game?
No.
Dude, watch that intro. It will get your blood pumping. Cool. You'll be ready for some fucking Witcher. It is awesome.
Yeah, I was talking to Leo yesterday, and he said that he started playing it after the 2.0 patch, and he said that it's like the combat is better, and that they just made so many improvements.
Do that.
Next week, I'm going to start playing it, man. It's going to be... Yeah.
I'll replay it again. I'll either get on 360 and play it through on there, or I'll download all the new stuff on the PC version.
Yeah, I'm gonna play my little $14 PC version.
Nice.
Nice. All right,
cool.
Well, that's it.
Cool. Yeah, all right. Let's do some news.
Yeah, we got any?
I got one.
All right.
I got one that I would think that Jeff would bring up before I did, but...
Now, I've been totally disconnected from the internets in the last few weeks. I've been so busy at work, literally. Gotcha. So this news that we're doing now is like news to me.
Okay. Well, yeah. So Street Fighter Cross Tekken, it's coming to Vita. We knew that,
right?
I did know this.
Okay. Yes.
12 extra characters compared to the PS3 version.
Blanca.
Yeah. Cross platform play. So you will be able to play online multiplayer on your Vita against someone on your PS3.
Now the question is, can you do the can you get in a room with everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you can.
I see why you're saying, because you can't do it on the other shit, right?
Can you do spectator mode with everybody else on your Vita while everybody else is on the PS3 or vice versa?
I don't see why not.
Or can you just do head-to-head stuff? See, that's the question.
I don't see why you wouldn't. I guess we'll find out, but
I couldn't get anybody in my Wipeout game on PS3 with people with Vita.
Huh.
And that's supposed to be cross-platform.
Anyway, the other piece of this news is that... If you buy the Vita version and you connect your Vita to your PS3, it will unlock the 12 new characters for your PS3 version.
Good.
Without
job,
having to
Capcom.
Buy the game. Or without having to buy the $20 DLC.
That is how you make good decisions.
That is how you make good decisions with this kind of thing.
Oh,
now,
I'm proud of you.
I was already planning on picking up Street Fighter Cross Tekken at one point or another, but now I'll probably pick up both versions. PS3 and for Vita.
Now, even though they're doing this cool little cross-promotion thing where you get the DLC automatically with the Vita version, I'm still wondering now, is this going to give them a reason to not do like that bundled price that a lot of the sports games are doing? Because like I said, MLB The Show, you can get the Vita and the PlayStation 3 version for $80, stone cold.
Right, but why would you do that when the Vita version isn't coming out until September or whatever it is? Because you can already get Street Fighter Cross Tekken for $12 or so less than you normally could.
Is that mess that far back, actually?
Yeah, it's really? Pretty far, yeah. So, I mean, by the time it comes out on Vita, you're going to be able to get it cheap on PS3 anyway.
Right.
So it's I don't think it's as much of an issue. But I think that the fact that you're getting free $20 DLC makes up for that fact.
That's hot.
So they're still giving you that kickback. They're still giving you that kickback. But right now, it's on Amazon for $48. for PS3.
Okay, that's not bad.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's all the news I had. I thought that was really cool that they're going to be doing that. So
it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope they start doing more of this because, I mean, if they really, I mean, and I know we talked about this before, but if they really want the Vita to be successful, they'll do this shit with Call of Duty this year.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Call of Duty because it's easy to say that, but we all know Black Ops 2 is going to be out, you know, sometime this year. And I think it's pretty obvious that if they're going to do a Call of Duty, they already said they're going to do a Call of Duty on a Vita. If that's not Black Ops 2, but we've already talked about this. It's easy for us to say that they better be smart about this, but they're also Activision. They're also very cocky. And they also know that most likely someone with a Vita who's a big Call of Duty fan, they would spend full price on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that.
Yep.
So I hope they're smart and show a little bit of mercy.
Whether or not they give a discount, it needs to be Black Ops 2.
It's got to be Black Ops 2. Yeah.
Regardless of if there's a discount or not.
Anyway, cross-platform.
Yes.
And cross-platform. Huge. So, I got a little bit of news. I mean, this game was not on my radar until Captivate this week, in old Europe. But Resident Evil 6 is automatically on my radar. But they got a release date change. Like always, we've seen this before.
They bumped
right?
it up, didn't it?
They bumped it up six weeks, man.
Wow,
6 weeks. Wow. So it went from November 20th to October 2nd.
That makes that fucking demo with Dogma not so enticing anymore now, does
it? Not so enticing anymore. No, you still get it like 3 months.
Is it really? For some reason, I thought the Dogma thing was only like 4 weeks ahead of time, like a month. Okay, if it's a few months, that's that. That's
yeah,
right.
And Dogma's looking good too, man. That's, Dogma's looking good. A lot of news with Resident Evil 6. It got pushed up 6 weeks. The third main character, who was this mercenary guy who we didn't really know who it was. Some people were saying it was Hunk from like the hidden character in Resident Evil series. But it came out that that's actually his name's Alex Wesker. It's of course Albert Wesker's son, and like his blood is like the catalyst and the key to, like, you know, I guess either curing or causing more problems and everything. But, you know, it's great. You know, Chris Redfield, Leon Kennedy, Sherry Birkin's back, Ada Wong's back, Wesker's son. To me, it's fitting in really good, bringing back the old school zombies and then pushing it up 6 weeks. That's a big deal. And that's a bold statement because we've been seeing a lot of stuff get pushed back. I mean, most of the changes we've seen are things getting pushed back. And, it's just kind of a weird claim to say. But, I mean, Japanese developers... aside from Suda 51, who's been like really stepping it up this generation, but you know, Japanese developers are kind of getting, you know, shat on. You know,
because we're not gonna get excited till the game's out. Capcom's on a really bad.
I know, jumping up 6 weeks. That's a bold statement.
Yeah,
that we're more than ready for this game. We're gonna push it up 6 weeks. That's a bold statement. So if they can,
they're looking at, we need to fucking make money faster. So we're going to put this
I hope not, because they are, I mean, they were talking really big about Resident Evil this year, like 3 AAA Resident Evil games this year, and, you know, and Revelations.
You're calling Raccoon City AAA?
Well, I think the Resident Evil name is AAA.
Yeah, I guess
the name is AAA, so people, and that's the thing, you know, I work in that business, man, so I see people just completely pissed off at Capcom, like, this is not what we were advertised to. This is supposed to be a Resident Evil game. This is not a Resident Evil game, and people are pissed.
I would rather them not push it up and just keep it and then clear up bugs and glitches and shit. Like Epic Gears 3.
I agree.
Gears actually push it back. Be like, we can put it early. We're not gonna do it. We're just gonna
Six weeks.
It scares me. Six weeks is a lot of time.
I mean, when you're looking at going gold time and then pressing and everything, that's probably a good 3 solid weeks of getting bugs out and everything. But, I mean, apparently Resident Evil 6 has been in the works for almost 2.5, almost 3 years. So they've been working on it for a long time. I think it's bold, and it's a gamble. I think if this game comes out strong and it's quality... I think they made a good decision, but if this game has problems, if they just think that bringing zombies
back—that's
the
easiest thing in the world to say.
Yeah, I know, right?
If the game's awesome, I think they made a great choice. Terrible, I think it was a terrible idea.
Not just monetarily, but I think just for Japanese development in general, it could be a big win for them because they kind of need one. don't
know. Well, hey, so, Lost Planet 3 was also announced there, too. So
hey, good job. Happens. Good luck, guys.
Yeah. I like the first one was good.
First one was good, yeah. Second one.
I liked it. Anything else?
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
Molyneux admits Fable 3 sucked, finally.
Did he admit that the other Fable games sucked,
gives
too?
A shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
People that love Fable games, man.
That Fable Heroes looks good, though.
Yeah, that's supposed to be not bad. Fable 1 and 2 were good. I didn't like 2, but 1 was pretty awesome. 3.
Fable 2 was good. I hated it, but it was what? Good.
Well, no, I said I heard it. I like people liked it. It's because I don't like it doesn't mean it's a shitty game. I just didn't like it. But I heard it. Like, a lot of people think that's the best one. I don't know. Right. Didn't you say didn't you like 2 the best out of all of them?
Yeah, I thought 2 was the best. Yeah.
I didn't like it. And 3 was just bleh. But I beat 3 and didn't beat 2. Go figure. I was bored one weekend. Whatever. It happens.
All right. So is that it for news?
I believe so. Shall we take a break?
Shall we?
All right. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Kickstarters and if they're going to stay with independent stuff or move on over to mainstream. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we will be right back. It's time to wake up.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Nice. Thank you, Jeff. We're going to talk about Kickstarter programs for gaming. For gaming. There are...
For gaying.
So this comes after Double Fine was hugely successful with their Kickstarter program. And a lot of companies followed suit, and some have been successful and some haven't. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we have a couple emails first, so I'm going to pass that over to Travis and let him read those.
All right. Let's see. Sean Recupido comes in and says, is Kickstarter starting to grow old? Hell no, it ain't getting old. In fact, I think it's the best thing that happened to gaming in the industry in a long time. It's capitalism and it's at its finest. The gamer is interacting directly with the game developer, saying, yes, your game idea is worth pursuing by pre-buying the game and funding its development. Who knows how many good games will come from Kickstarter that the suits at the major publishers pass on. We will see as a direct result of Kickstarter. Do we really want to see our favorite industry turn into an oligopoly? I would think that's Monopoly, maybe. Deprived of creativity and choice because there's almost no competition. This is pretty much the same thing that is happening in other entertainment industries due to the internet. All these music artists and movie producers are saying, fuck the middleman, and doing it themselves. The more choices the consumer has, the better.
That's it. All right, cool. I 100% agree. I love Kickstarter. I think it is awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And I am all the way across the board, I 100% agree, because there are so many games that may or may not, you know, but there's so many games that there's those, you know, everybody wants to see a sequel to this old school game or a new game from this studio or something like that. And Kickstarter gives us the opportunity to have that, as well as the people that donate get something back.
Right.
And that's the big thing about Kickstarters. Kickstarter says, hey, these people are donating. You need to give them something back. And I think it's a fantastic idea. And Double Fine proved it. And companies keep proving it again and again lately. Like the biggest one is that,
Shadowrun
Returns got announced. And I think it's only been up. It's got to be less
not
than a
long.
Week.
They've already beat their goal. By like
they've already doubled it. Yeah, like they've already doubled it. So I mean, that's pretty.
They
want
to do like an old school like RPG one.
Exactly.
Like the old ones.
Yeah.
That's the only way I think it's good is if it's stuff like this, like stuff where people. It's kind of like a niche market where big publishers are too afraid to take the plunge, so these developers go and do a Kickstarter. I think that's when it's used well. I don't think it'll ever go into mainstream gaming if it does.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Activision ever does a Kickstarter for, like, a Call of Duty, like, something, that
I think
ridiculous.
They get shunned for that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think this is more of a situation where, you know, smaller developers or even larger developers that want to do smaller, more niche projects are going
Capcom,
to use...
Capcom, what's up, Strider?
Yeah, no shit. but I think that's what this is... could be used for, and it would be successful in that front.
Oh, yeah,
I
sure.
mean, there's a lot of little games here that I've never heard of, and like there's FTL, Faster Than Light. It's is a spaceship simulation roguelike, and this thing got funded 2,000% funded.
Yeah,
holy wow.
They made $200,000.
Yeah,
and their goal was $10,000.
Yeah. Hmm. And another cool thing looking at the Kickstarter site that I'm seeing is, you know, not just on the game basis, but we're actually seeing, you know, we're seeing a lot of like old school genres, yeah, that kind of like, you know, kind of bubble up my nostalgia a little bit. But I'm also seeing some developers that by name that I have not heard from in almost 20 years. Jane Jensen, who collaborated with Ken and Roberta Williams back in the King's Quest days, and I think she even did one of the Phantasmagorias. Like, you know, she's wanting to, you know, get back to her roots and do more of an adventure game. So, you know, Jane Jensen's 50% done with like over a month left to go. Al Lowe wants to bring back a classic Leisure Suit Larry. He wants to reboot Leisure Suit Larry. You know, these are names that we actually haven't heard from in years, you know, over a decade, and they're actually wanting to get back into the gaming world, and it's cool to see them doing that through Kickstarter.
And there's almost go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As you say, there's also like no risk either, because it's not like the company is getting a certain budget from a publisher and then over budgeting and then not selling. This is like they know the money they have to do this. They already have their money. They know as long as they stay within budget, they've broken even. Mm-hmm. And anything on top of that is just going to be profit for them to, you know, put towards something else. So it's kind of like, it's a really good idea for on a small level basis, I think. I think it's great.
And I like the way, like Kickstarter, how they portray these projects, because they make you give a lot of information. I mean, there's projects on here that we've never heard of, right?
So, of course.
You know, I'm looking at some of these, and one of the ones that you mentioned is Valdis Story, and it says Abyssal City. And I'm looking at this, and there, it's like this beautiful 2D hand-drawn sprite-driven platform game. And it looks really, really cool. And, you know, I turn around and I look at this and I'm like, what's this coming out for? What are they doing with it? I mean, this is, you know, it's a great idea. And I think that, you know, we're going to see, I think at the independents mainly are going to see a real, like surge in those products. And that's what I'm happy to see, because I enjoy supporting independent developers and smaller studios and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're not going to worry about them getting shut down after. Like, I wonder if Grin would still be around if Kickstarter was around when they did Bionic Commando Reloaded.
Yeah,
or whatever, and like, or even the remake on the new gen systems. Like, if they would have done that on Kickstarter, they might not have been like, you know, contract under Capcom with this crazy budget. Like, that's what does scare me. Like, some of the, a lot of the sequels, though, it depends, I guess, who owns the rights to them. I wonder how that works. Like, I don't know who owns the rights to Shadowrun right now. I mean, Microsoft were the last people to have it, but I'm not sure if they still have that, or if it was just, like, a limited time thing. Because that could run into issues for stuff like, well, like I mentioned Strider earlier or something like that.
I'm looking through, I'm digging more into the Kickstarter site, and Chris, I mean, I'm even seeing, I typed in Atlanta, Georgia, and we actually have a local independent classic 2D role-playing game being made right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and this guy has pushing 500 backers almost at $16,000.
What's the name of the game?
It's called Echoes of Eternia, and he's still got like 23 days to go. Before he's all done and everything. And screenshots, I mean, it's a really pretty 2D game. I mean, everything looks hand-drawn, almost a little, give that Final Fantasy style of graphics, but give it a little bit of a Bastion flair. I mean, it's a really good-looking game.
It's beautiful.
That might be a guy we want to contact, you know.
Yeah, I'm down.
Have him on a show. I'd love to support some Atlanta, Georgia video game
developers.
Oh, yeah,
this is old school, like, top-down Zelda-like stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, gameplay-wise, he in the description, he's talking about how it's more of a, you know, 2D active turn-based battle system like Final Fantasy, so.
Nice.
30-plus hours of gameplay, not including side quests. So, I mean, there's a lot of people. And it's just interesting, just digging into the website. Type in you guys' hometown city. See what these guys are making, you know? I mean, if you believe in what they're doing, throw them a couple bucks.
Cool.
Another email? Absolutely.
Yeah, I got another email. Looks like this one is from our homeboy, Mike Martignetti, a.k.a. Mike Strafe.
What's up, Mike Strafe?
He says, I think everyone was really surprised when a Kickstarter thing took off for gaming like it did. Fans have been bitching about wanting another classic adventure for a long time, but to see everyone actually put their money where their mouth is was a shock to me, and Double Fine as well, apparently. It's no surprise that the new gaming Kickstarters are going up every week, including Wasteland 2, Leisure Suit Larry, and Jane Jensen's new studio, but I'm annoyed to see some of the comments coming out of the gaming community because of these initiatives. First off, kickstarting isn't scaring any publishers. They're not losing sleep or bank on any of these titles. They may have made a mill and they have backed Schafer's game first, but the risk that the game could have sold like crap wasn't worth their time or money, especially since they would have put so little marketing into it that the Kickstarter story alone got more press than a publisher ever could have gotten for this for just one game. They're going to keep doing what they're doing, and in a way, it seems they're even being supportive of these smaller studios. Despite what some gamers think, publishers don't exist to shit on developers and gamers. They exist to make money, and if they can't make a lot of money on a game, they aren't going to go through the trouble of publishing it. In cases like Leisure Suit Larry, Activision realized they can't make any more off the franchise and has sold it to someone who wants to do right by it. They could have just hoarded the license and started game blocking the fans. The games on Kickstarter are pretty
like they're trying to do with, what's it called? Brutal Legend?
Brutal Legend, yeah. the games on Kickstarter are pretty telling of what games are going to end up being community funded. They need to be games that already have a community or are being built by the creator who has a community. They are also likely games a publisher would never, ever touch. These are games that the community wants to see, but that no one will take a chance on. I love the way it's shaping up because it means we're likely to see great games come out that never would have in the past. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter does one thing that, I think large companies will take advantage of, which is allowing pre-orders before the game is even planned. The contract of here's my money, get me the game I want is something that only happened at the end of the development cycle. Doing up front is a way to see how much of a project could sell, and I think publishers could use this as an accurate way to test out how well a smaller title will sell. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kickstarter-like functionality added to the publisher sites in the future for certain titles. Of course, there's a chance that some of these projects go belly up and we all lose our money, but I won't get into that. This email is long enough. So to close off this email, what would you guys want back? Castlevania Symphony of the Night 2, Phantasy Star 5, Streets of Rage 4, Chrono Trigger 3, Radiant Silver Gun 2, etc. Mike Strife.
Yes, Streets of Rage 4. Yes,
that Streets of Rage remake, they need to get up. Yeah, all those would be awesome. But that Streets of Rage game that was up there on PC and was taken down, Sega made them take down, looks really awesome. It was really good.
Yeah, it was like it was like a just a resprite of the game, and it actually looked really, really good. And I may still have it on my computer. I'm not sure.
They should try a Kickstarter with that stuff, and then because I'm sure that'll also get publishers, like Mike said, like get their attention and be like, hey, well, maybe we'll take, because okay, these games might be made, but still where they put them is limited without a publisher. But I mean, this might get like you know, big publisher be like, hey, this, you know, this little dev company was able to raise this much money, so this is guaranteed sales. And now, if we put it on like multiple platforms, we can get that on PSN, get that on Xbox Live, like not just the independent parts of it, like the actual like main parts of it, then for like a really, really low cost, that's a really good thing. I think we'll see way more of a chance of seeing those, especially those games like Mike mentioned. Or Strider, Capcom, hit those if something like that happened. Because apparently there's like been like two Strider games canceled in the last like, what, 10 years or like 5 years, and I'm like so pissed off about that. But kickstart that shit. Shit will be getting made, I think.
Yeah.
And get put up there.
Yeah. Do you think the bigger publishers are going to adopt anything that we see here?
No, they better not.
I mean, the closest big moneymaker we've ever seen to this, not including Kickstarter stuff, has been, what, Minecraft? Like, that's the only thing that's come kind of close to, like, kind of like having people pre-buy the game before it's truly finished and then judging how well it's going to sell after that. I don't think it really fits in the same spot
because when you bought, you know, Minecraft, you were paying for the ability to play the game still, you know, and what you were paying for was $13 for the alpha, and you were paying for the ability to play the game forever and all the updates and everything. You got everything, and I think that's what separated that from some of these Kickstarter projects. But the Kickstarter projects are basically, if they don't reach their funding target, they're forget it. They don't get anything. So it's a little bit more, I'm not going to say it's a little bit more risk because, you know, Minecraft could have very well gone straight belly up, but
you still got to play it though, even over front belly up. It was like, yeah, you got something out of your money. This is more of like it's a risk.
Well,
like,
you get your money back if they don't make their target.
Okay, then yeah, it's like no risk for you. Just donate money, and then boom, if they do make the game, you get a copy of the game. I think most of them are saying, hey, if you donate, you get a copy of the game, right? If it's over a certain amount.
Yeah, yeah. Most of that is like the lower targets, like the one that Travis mentioned. The Echoes game is like $15 and you get the game. And then like, I think it said $35 and you get the game and the soundtrack or something like that. And I'm looking at another one right now. It's, Starlight Inception, and they actually have like swag marked with the logo. And so that's involved as well. So there's a lot of stuff in there that give you the benefit of pledging. As you pledge, you get more stuff. So
yeah,
it's funny to see some of the bigger ones that are like, you know, like even especially the Double Fine ones, like pledge $10,000 and, you know, have lunch with the developers. And it's, you know, it's
well, I mean, those guys have a lot of pull anyway. Those guys have been around forever. Like, as much as they're a small studio, they're a big, small studio.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, like, yeah. They have friends that, like, if they have people donating like $25,000 and shit like that, that's like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Game better be good. I mean, I have no money invested. This is me and my internet entitlement, my gamer entitlement. Game better be good. I haven't paid anything for it yet, but it better be good.
It better be good or else I'm not buying it.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think it's interesting. And there's a lot of them on there. I mean, there's a good number of, you know, gaming Kickstarters out there. And, you know, some of them are really interesting. I was excited to see Shadowrun. You know, hopefully that one will turn out good. And, you know, the fact that we have one going on locally is pretty cool, and probably have to try and get in touch with that guy.
I'm not going to lie, though. There's a lot of weird, random stuff being Kickstarted.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
In the Atlanta area alone, there is the new Kid and Play movie is looking to be Kickstarted. They have 13 days left, and they have 0% funded. Kid and Play, nobody cares about you anymore, dog. Drop it.
Do you live here? Why are you here? I don't understand.
No one probably knows who the fuck they are for the most part.
Yeah, they were like early 90s, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Is that it for emails, or should we go into our like final, like, or do we have any more emails?
I think that's it for the question.
No, we do not. I have a final thought about Kickstarter, and I want to say how much of a baller strategy this is to do this, because they take what percent cut do they take of this?
I'm not sure.
They take almost 50. Well, they take a chunk, and also your ridiculous government with stuff like this takes like 50% or 40%.
Yeah, you get taxed hardcore on it.
Yeah,
really.
Because I think Comedy Button, the podcast that used to be what's it called, Games by Debriefings, they raised I think almost 50,000, and they had to give something like 20,000+ to the government for taxes. That's pretty crazy. I wonder if people are factoring this into their goal. I hope they are. I hope they're not like, hey, this game's probably going to cost me about 20,000 to make, so I'm going to put my goal as 20,000. Hopefully they're upping it to like 40 just to make sure.
I'm actually looking for, I'm trying to find how much, like, the percentage that they take.
And yeah, no, it can't be that much, though.
I can't imagine
Kickstarter. I mean, maybe what? Taking like what? I mean, like, little, like, 3-5% here and there.
Yeah.
Give or take a few.
Maybe up to 10. Maybe.
5% cut.
5%? That's not too bad.
That's not too bad at all.
No, 5% is reasonable, I think. But you got the 5%, and then you got to figure that there's the 40% that your government's going to take. So, I don't know. I still think it's as you said, it's a great strategy. You know, I think it's great especially for independent developers. The mainstream needs to stay away from this for sure, because this is not for them.
I don't think they will. If they do, they'll get shunned.
Yeah, they will get shunned. And I think that the only people that would think about it is Activision.
And unless it's something along the lines we're saying, unless they're doing it to revive something that there's people like a small niche market wants, like a sequel.
Yeah, it's like you said, if Capcom were to say, hey, we're going to kickstart Strider,
yeah, that would be different. That'd be okay, because they've been shying away from it. They're not going to do it, and they've had bad things pass. But if it's a big franchise, like Microsoft being like, hey, we're going to kickstart Halo 5, like that would just be insane.
I haven't seen games like that. They're not a risk. You know, Call of Duty's not a risk. They're going to make money. Halo's not a risk.
But that's the thing is, I think in some of these publishers, though, might be greedy, and they know they're going to make money, and they know that if they did a Kickstarter, they'll still make money because of the people out there that don't know any better.
Right.
Do you think it's dirty if Capcom says, okay, we're going to kickstart Strider?
No, that would be totally different, because
that's okay, though, because it's a risk. I mean, that's a huge risk.
I mean, especially because of what happened with Bionic Commando, like with Grin. Like, because if they're doing that, they're showing they're actually caring that if they're going to do this, they're going to get a studio to do it. This is what their budget is, and they don't have to worry about shutting them down, because they already have, they know how much money it's going to have. Like, that's it. They're not saying, like, let's estimate what this is going to sell. Let's estimate what the budget's going to be. And then overdo the budget, and then have the game not break even, and then have them shut them down. And something like this would make more sense than to do something like they're doing. Like say if they're doing it for like Lost Planet 3, I think that'd be totally different. That'd be like, I don't
right.
know.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Lost Planet 2 sold like shit, so it's probably a risk.
Yeah.
is it too much to ask for Suda 51 to kickstart Shadows of the Damned 2?
Like, I don't think that'd be a bad idea.
That's got to happen, man.
Yeah.
That's got to happen. So yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all final thoughts on me, man. Why didn't we think of Kickstarter? Shit!
Why didn't we think of 90% of the stuff that's on the internet right now?
Damn it.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you guys. I think it's a great idea. And, you know, as we all said, as long as it sticks to things that could possibly be high risk or are for independent developers, I think it's fine. As soon as it goes and rolls into the mainstream, it's a bad idea. And, you know, I think it's awesome. I mean, I've got a couple that I've backed so far, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. It's going to be an interesting, it's an interesting turn of events for the gaming industry, I think. So, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be good for gaming in general.
I think, yeah, overall, definitely. Agreed. It's not going to hurt anything until they start oversaturating it. That's, at some point, like, I mean, how many people know about Kickstarter? Like, I don't think it's that mainstream yet. I'm sure it's just more of the hardcore gaming community and then a little bit more abroad.
I would agree.
Eventually, it's going to get diluted and people just aren't going to have the money to donate. So it's going to come down to a lot of these little games are doing really well now. It's going to get to the point where people are going to be way more selective.
Yeah, because you have to pick and choose what you're going to support. Exactly. And, you know, you might not be able to support.
Have you ever done Extra Life with Retroids? It's kind of like that. There's like six different podcasts, all of them doing something on Extra Life weekend. It's like, oh, shit.
Which is why, for Extra Life, we just told everyone who wanted to donate to us to donate to PS Nation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it made more sense at that point. And it's all going to the same place. So it's all helping kids. But, same idea. It's like it's going to be really hard to distribute the wealth when there's a lot more projects out there. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. It may get oversaturated. It may not.
Yeah, well, right now it's doing okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All things are looking up, I'd say.
Cool. Hey, you guys ready to do some new releases then?
Yeah.
Let's do that. PS3, House of the Dead 4.
Listening.
And Deadliest Warrior Ancient Combat. For some reason, I have a feeling that's going to suck. I don't know why.
Surprisingly, those games sell pretty well.
Do they?
They're it's on PSN, right?
No, that's a retail release.
Are they? Because I know they're Xbox Live games. I'm wondering if they're just coming out on disc form on PS3 then.
Maybe.
Because I know.
Well, no, because this one's Live coming out on 360 as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I know the Xbox Live ones is like terrible as they are. They actually sold pretty well. That show's apparently pretty popular.
Okay.
I know, it blows my mind. I don't get it.
Well, along with that are two big titles for Xbox, and that is Witcher 2: Assassins of Kings.
Yep.
And Trials Evolution is coming out for XBLA.
Big gaming week.
Absolutely. Especially for Xbox. If you don't have an Xbox, you're probably not buying anything. Unless you're into House of Dead. House of Dead's pretty cool. Let's see here. And the Vita is getting Disgaea 3. So that is
new
release.
Hey, it's a good time the Vita got a release.
I know, right? And we skipped both 3DS and Wii again this week. So, hey, pick of the week.
Kind of like we do at home.
Witcher 2?
Nice.
And Trials. Get them both.
Dude, definitely, Witcher 2. Oh, wait, is Fez this Friday?
Fez is out. I'm sorry. By the time this releases, it'll be out. Fez is out tomorrow.
I was going to say, did we say that last week on the show?
We did, yeah.
Yes, we did. Okay, so, yeah, definitely Witcher 2. That game, man, it's so good. It should have been on our overall Game of the Year list last year, but you fuckers didn't play it yet.
That's okay, it'll be on the list this year.
It might, very well might be. And Trials. I have to go with both. Go with the downloadable game and go with the retail game. Trials looks cool.
I can't disagree. I'm going to say Witcher over Trials personally, but there you go. So, unanimous decision, Witcher 2 and Trials Evolution as well. So, that's a good week for Xbox next week. Hey, Travis, let's do some emails.
All right, I got one. It says, it's coming from Christopher Bailey Chris 99.
Chris. What's up, man?
He says, what's up, Indus? I just heard episode 225. Great episode. And I want to add my questions to the mix. He says, which quote-unquote gaming world would you want to live, work, and play in as a non-lead character? Imagine becoming a crew member on Shepard's crew that survived Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Or as a member of the Companions in Skyrim, you know, another assassin and member of the Illuminati in any of the Assassin's Creed games, I could go on. My personal favorite would be just another Starship Captain in Star Trek Online universe. I know the game is declining, it's free to play, and I haven't logged in at least 6 months, but there is a solid game here with great content. graphics and controller, not up to WoW or Tor standards, but nowhere near EVE on, and nowhere near EVE Online. But you're a starship captain with a holodeck. Need I go on? You can have
imagine what you could do.
You can have a life in Starfleet, cruise around the galaxy in style. Star Trek ships have carpet. Check it. This is Star Trek fact. He has actually sent us proof of this. Links that starships do have a carpet. Check it. Everywhere else has metal floors, even in the bedrooms. And unless you're in an episode with a main Star Trek character, you won't get destroyed. Smooth sailing. I'm off to play some Tor. See ya, Chris. So game world, you would want to be kind of like a background character in.
I'm gonna say Tor. I would. I mean,
really?
That's where I want to. Yeah, fucking Star Wars universe. That'd be all badass.
Intergalactic Civil War is not pretty, Chris.
Depends on who you are. If I'm a Jedi, I'm in good shape.
If I was in Skyrim, I'd guaranteed be ugly and not. I'd like move all funny and shit. And so I wouldn't want to live there. That just wouldn't be fun.
Always taking an arrow in the knee. You don't want that.
Yeah, oh, God, no. Yeah.
Did you just go, God, you are just on top of the bad jokes today, Travis.
I want to roll.
Fuck, I don't know. It's a tough question. See, I don't want to just be like, oh, Star Wars is cool, I'll go there. Because you already said that.
Yeah.
Travis, just, what about you, man?
Can I be like a guitarist in Rock Band or something? That'd be cool.
Sure, that'd be all right. Hey, anything in Rock Band would be alright.
A baller in NBA 2K12?
Yeah, but everyone's kind of the same, though. Like, everyone's a main character in that game.
Right? Well, not if you're riding Pine.
That's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being in the Phantasy Star universe either, honestly. That'd be cool.
Why?
I enjoy... Because
you're not a main character, so you're not going to be collecting that loot. You're just there.
If I'm not a main character, I can be like a side character. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Lots of futuristic stuff. I like that shit, man. I'm into that sci-fi stuff.
Any futuristic tweets, Jeff?
We do got some tweets. None of them are futuristic, though.
Ugh.
In fact, some of them are coming from way from the past. Thanks, Navishin, for actually sending these back again, because last week we were like, we had to... You know, we kept these ones out because it would probably take too long. But he's got a couple. He says, well, first he says, can real eyes realize real lies?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
You just got nowhere to look.
He says, would Travis and Jeff ever agree to a slap bet with one another?
Yes.
Yeah, I could see it happening. I mean, especially if we were drinking and this came up, yeah, it definitely would happen. But the problem
here's
is...
Here's the thing, no... Because Jeff has a horseshoe up his ass when it comes to betting. So you know what? No, I would absolutely. I will dress up in 8 different variations of Gaga outfits and before I take a slap bet from Jeff. And
also, the suspense wouldn't exactly be the same because we don't see each other that often. Yeah, so it couldn't be like in How I Met Your Mother where it's like those guys are hanging out all the time. So it couldn't be like I could even tease you and be like, oh, you know, it could be coming. You know, every time I see you, I have about a 3-day window to smack
to slap.
You.
So I know I'm going to slap that weekend. Like,
exactly. So that wouldn't even be fun. Away. Yeah, it would take the fun out of me, too, because I just, you know, I wouldn't be able to scare you too much. So probably not. Actually, no, it probably would. If get a few beers, I'd be like, okay, it's a great idea. But we wouldn't fall through. Chris, this is from Navishin.
Okay.
If Konami were to announce a sequel to Castlevania Lords of Shadow, what improvements and implementations would you like to see in it?
Oh, wow.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. Let me think for a second.
Make it 2D.
No, I mean, if you're going to stay in the same genre, if you're going to stay in the character action genre, I think that one of the big things that I had a problem with as far as Lord of Shadow is because one of the things that I always think about when I think of Castlevania is a good soundtrack. And... whereas Lords of Shadow had a good soundtrack, it wasn't a very memorable one. And I can pick out like 4 or 5 different Castlevania tunes off the top of my head and just like hum them. So I mean, it's like there wasn't that catchy tune. Some of the other things that I would have liked to have seen is, I guess, just expansion of the combat. I thought the combat was very well done for what it was. But
make
some of
it shorter.
The game did need to be shorter. It was like 20 hours long for a character action game. Mm-hmm. It was pretty long, but like the combat was great, but it was a situation where I feel like they could have expanded on it a little bit more.
You didn't need to use all the crazy shit they gave you.
Yeah, that's
true. You
could
get through using the same like three combos over and over again.
Yeah, and like they made it so that and that's exactly really what I'm getting at, because the combat for me, I thought some of the combos were really really cool, but you could never got the opportunity to use them because you would get two hits in and you get hit and you get knocked out of the combo.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a bread and butter combo that I used like all the time that basically made it so I did two quick moves and then I was in the air and doing a slam so mm-hmm. that nobody could hit me. And that's the kind of thing I'm getting at. It's like, I feel like if you're going to make a game that's based around the combat should be more flexible. I shouldn't have to rely on the one bread and butter combo that I've got.
Yeah.
And you know, God of War is kind of like that too, because God of War, you could go the light, heavy every time and pretty much win the game.
Well, good follow-up, Chris, because the second question is, sorry for interrupting, but no. I might as well get this out of the way now. Jeff, what does God of War have to do to catch your interest again? Is adding a 4 enough? No. Simple form. Anyway, go ahead, finish what you were saying, then I'll go into...
No, I was done. I was pretty much done. The only other thing that I would say is that like they kind of touched on the Shadow of the Colossus type stuff. Mm-hmm. I liked that. I think that was a nice touch, and I don't think they should put more of it in, but they should should continue to do that.
Cool. Yeah, with God of War, I think the only thing they can do is give it a break, to be honest, for me anyway. I get that there's too many, if I play too many games in a shorter period of time, I tend to get sick of them. If I take a break from something and a game there's a good few years between a release, that's when I'm like, oh shit, I'm right back into it again.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm happy that Gears of War 4, I mean, God of War 4 hasn't been announced yet, right? I'm sure, no, it hasn't. So
it hasn't. Got that teaser on Facebook right now.
Yeah, well, when it does happen, hopefully it won't be out till next year.
I want God of War to be a release title for the PS4.
That's what I'd rather have, too. I don't want to see it on PS3 again. I thought I thought 3 was good enough as it is. Keep it as it is. I don't want them to do what they did. Even though 3...
yeah, that
comes,
one.
What comes before 3 and after 1? 2? 2 is my favorite one. Even though it did come out on the PS2, I'd rather see 4 like on brand new tech.
Yeah.
To totally blow my mind away.
I agree.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything. Gameplay-wise, I mean, I would like it to be a little bit more technical, maybe. Not so kind of mashy, I guess. But that's part of the fun in that game, because you can just kind of enjoy it. It's never really too hard, except for these weird difficulty spikes that always happen in those games, but...
I kind of want the QuickTime events to go away.
I want the ones where you're mashing on a button to go away. I don't mind the ones where you're kind of hitting a button, but the ones that got repetitive, like the kind of, not even the boss characters, like the bigger enemies, where you'd always have to, like, mash on circle to stab the Minotaur in the throat and stuff like that. Like, yeah. And you were doing that, like, every couple minutes, that became really annoying. Like, just do it like Darksiders. You hit one button and just watch the animation. Because you're going to do it. It's not like they were hard QuickTime events. It was like, oh god, here we go. Hit circle a billion times. All right. Like, you never failed them. It was like real. If you failed them, you were terrible.
But, yeah. Yeah. Cool.
I still need to play Ghost of Sparta. But,
yeah, I haven't finished that either.
Sangrita says, you Americans don't get Easter off? We get 3 public holidays. Friday, Sunday, and Monday.
Wow. Which,
I was like, Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday's not really a holiday. It's
No.
Do you guys have to work, Sanger? Do you guys have to work in Australia? Do you have to work in, or no, you're just in New Zealand, like on Sundays? Because that's in North America, you get Sunday off no matter what. It's cool you have the Monday off though.
Well, unless you're in like a retail job or something like.
Oh that. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, like Sundays sometimes.
Monday to Friday job anyway.
Yeah.
As we call them here, I guess you guys might.
If you're in one of those stuffy office jobs. Like Jeff and
God,
I.
That sounds horrible.
It is horrible.
It is terrible. Yep. And Jack Bauer says, what do you guys do on breaks? So at work.
At work?
Yeah. Masturbate?
I don't take breaks at work.
You don't take breaks at work?
No, I don't, because I go in, because I work an 8-hour day and I don't take a lunch. So okay. I go in and I work while I eat lunch. So I don't
take a break. Yeah, I usually do that. I usually have a cigarette, which is terrible, I know. Or lately, because it's been so busy, I haven't been doing too much of that, but I do a lot of, I'm going to take 10 minutes and literally go on the internet. My internet, though, is very, very limited. I'm usually, like, on NBA sites or even just, like, news shit and whatever. Or I talk to people, you know, shoot the shit. Nothing too exciting.
Well, I do, yeah, that happens, but I thought you meant, like, a lunch break or something like that.
Yeah, I don't really take, like, a scheduled break. Like, my lunch, like, we're not allowed to eat at our, like, meals at our desk anymore in this new building. I'm sure they're just going to keep it that way till for, like, the first month or two when they find, like, all right, fine, you can, just to kind of keep it clean. But before that, I never really took a lunch break either. I'd usually just get lunch, or if I brought my lunch, I'd heat it up and then just eat at my desk while I'm still working. The only thing is I'd go out for a smoke every, like, once in a while. That's right. For, like, 5 minutes. But I'm never like, I'm going to take a 15-minute break or anything like that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, my breaks consist of, like, going to the kitchen to get coffee or something like that, and I run into someone and start chatting. Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, we have set 30-minute breaks and everything, and I usually just, you know, eat something and sit in the back and watch, like, Netflix on my Vita or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, when I was working, like, that kind of, like, retail stuff, I took breaks all the time, because that was, like, the only time you could really break free from that shit, especially, like, you know, during Christmas season and stuff like that. I was like, oh, I'm taking my 20-minute break, and I am just doing anything but talking to customers right now. That's what I used to do. And masturbate. I'm kidding. I've never done that on break. That'd just be wrong. You do that on company time when you're getting paid for it.
That's right.
Yep.
That's all the end of questions this week.
All right, cool. Hey, I have a voicemail.
All right. Let me play that voicemail. I have ears. I can hear that.
Hey, awesome. Here we go.
Hey, guys. It's Not Machine.
Hey.
It won't be quick. Probably only 3 minutes, but whatever. So, a question for you guys. Has there ever been a game that you had that you just can't recommend to people, but you really, really want to? And it's just like, come on. I would give this to you, but it's just so much shit that you gotta go through just to get to it, and it's kinda, you gotta have to work for it. And like, I've gotten to the point right now for me, it's like, Kingdom Hearts is at this point right now. And so I love to give to people, I'm like, hey, you should play this, it's awesome. It's like, I can't do it unless you want to start from the beginning, because there's so much canon, there's so much shit that you need to know before you play these other games, and it's like fucking crazy. Like Irrational Passions went to PAX East, and I even asked them to ask that question to one of the developers over there, just to like, you know, it's like, it's kind of hard to get people into the series. And sure, you got the little, oh, you read the journal to catch up kind of bullshit thing, but no, that's like Mass Effect, they got to read the codex. Fuck that shit, yo. I want to know what is in the game. I want to play that game. That's why I played Mass Effect 1 before Mass Effect 2, and it's like, yeah, that game is awesome. You play Mass Effect 1 before Mass Effect 2, or you just be like, oh, I'm on the PS3, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I love you people. Don't get mad at me. Okay, whatever. I'm rambling. Is there anything you can recommend to people, or you want to recommend to people, but you can't? It just kind of sucks. I really want people to play Kingdom Hearts, but no. They're Canadian, and they're like, I've played this for a whole year. Yeah, I've played this for a whole year, man. I even dressed up Bill Cosby at and you're supposed to be doing it.
No, I can't do it, man, because, you know, I don't have the attention span to play Jeff and Star Wars like that. Well, fuck you too, Jeff. Fuck you. I love you.
I will say, if you dress as...
Okay, it's really over.
Is he done? Okay. If he dresses like Innis Cosby and he comes to Innis Fest this year, I will play one of the Kingdom Hearts games to its completion, if he did that.
He's got to go full-on Cosby sweater, too.
Oh, it's got to be Cosby sweater, like everything. Yeah, he's got to even like do the impersonation and everything. It's got to be...
impersonation.
I will play the Kingdom Hearts game of his choice. And the only reason I haven't
even
really
played
one...
Even if he says one, the DS one?
If he said, well, I don't think he'll do that. If it is legitimately the worst one, I'm pretty sure he's not going to say plays. Because I think he actually legitimately wants me to enjoy the series and like give it a good shot. I don't think he's going to be like, hey, play the worst fucking game out of all of them first. You'll love it. But I just don't know which one to play first, because like, I've heard so many conflicting things. People are like, oh, the first one's the best. People are like, the second one's the best.
You got to go with Kingdom Hearts 2. That's my opinion. I think you got to go with Kingdom Hearts 2.
That's the thing. Everyone's got...
I hear a lot of good things about one on PSP.
Yeah,
PSP one's pretty good.
Birth by Sleep. But the thing is, I think it's... You said a lot on a show that portable gaming is not really... really your thing, so I would say shy away from that one and jump on like Kingdom Hearts 2. Because Kingdom Hearts 2 has just got better control, better camera. It's more modern camera angles. With Kingdom Hearts 1, yeah, it's good, and I do like that one a lot. You have to control the camera with like the top triggers, and it's just really clunky. Kingdom Hearts 2 is the way to go. That'll get you into it.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't play them back in the day, because I love fucking Disney. I don't know how. Fantastic. Oh, I didn't have a PS2, that's why. I didn't have a PS2 this time. I think I had a Dreamcast.
That would do it.
Oh, yeah. So, but I will. I will. You know what? There you go, Navshin. We're one day or one night, and Indus Fest, you're coming. We get Indus Cosby. Done.
All right. So, a game that you want to suggest to people, but it's hard to.
Easy. I've been going through this for the past like month. Xenoblade Chronicles, man.
Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles.
Xenoblade's really, really hard to get people into. But why can't you? Okay, as simple as this. The question starts off: do you like RPGs? Love them. Love RPGs. All right, like Japanese role-playing games. Oh, yeah. I wish they made good ones. Well, they made the best one all generation. Really? Yeah, it's called Xenoblade Chronicles.
And it's on the Wii.
It's also on the Wii.
Oh, yeah, it's on the Wii. Yeah, I don't want to get that. Why not? Well, it's on the Wii. Does it matter?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it matters.
Looks like bum.
But no, it's on the Wii. You play with a classic controller. It's old-school gaming. It's old-school Japanese role-playing game goodness. What's not to like? Well, it's on the Wii, and they gotta turn the Wii on. I'm like, okay, that's been the hardest sell, because they can't get past the Wii thing, and they just won't take a leap of faith. And I can understand games are expensive; it's harder to take a leap of faith. But people are dying for a good role playing game, a good Japanese role playing game. To me, that's something good to take a leap. Now, I've got one or two people to be like, okay, I gotta get it. That sounds good. But it's the vast minority of the people that are saying no.
Yeah.
I mean, that are saying yes. Everyone else is just like, it's on the Wii. I don't know if I can take a plunge on a Wii game. But it's worth it. I mean, it's awesome. So, but Chris, what about you, man?
This is kind of a tough one, because there's a lot of games that I really like that I try not to suggest, because a lot of people won't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, some of them that come to mind are like Phantasy Star Universe. It's like, I loved Phantasy Star Universe, but it's hard to suggest, because there's a lot of people that loved Phantasy Star Online that didn't dig Phantasy Star Universe. And I understand that. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get around to suggesting that to people. And, you know, as much as I loved, you know, White Knight Chronicles, for instance, a lot of people didn't, you know, I had a lot of shitty stuff to say about it in my review when I put it up. So it's hard to recommend something like that. But, you know, a lot of the games that I'm so picky about my games now, because I don't get to play them a lot, that most of the time I pick stuff that is kind of, I don't want to say trendy, but, you know,
it's
kind of,
it's going to be well liked by a lot of people.
Right. Right.
Something that's universal taste, I guess. Two games recently that I've actually had this happen with somebody asking is Catherine and Rage. Because Catherine's a great game, but like a friend of mine borrows games every once in a while, and he's like, "Oh, how's Catherine?" I was like, "It's really good, but it's really quirky Japanese kind of humor, but done really well. It's kind of a puzzle game."
Oh, I got one.
But it's also got the kind of over top. It was just really hard. I'm like, "It's really good." He ended up like not really liking it, but I kind of expected that. But it was kind of a review. And then Rage is just because, if you don't like id games, I can't believe I did that. I hate that. It drives me mad when people call them id, and I just did.
Good job, Jeff.
Id.
Fired.
But, if people don't like id games to begin with, they're not going to like Rage. They're going to look at it and be like, why isn't it more like this and this and this? It's not supposed to be more like this, this, this. It's fucking classic id, but with looking gorgeous and pretty badass.
Yeah.
But, yeah. What was yours, Chris? You
said Skylanders.
Oh, yeah, well, that one's... well, it's kind of a kid's game.
It's a kid's game. It's a money sink, and it's a...
well, that's true.
Yeah, it is a money sink. But, yeah, so... hey, you guys are getting those back in stock now, right?
Yeah, a lot more.
Yeah. Seem to be a lot more common now.
Crazy.
But, yeah, that's what I got. Travis, did you... you gave us yours, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all our voicemails, so... are we good?
I think so.
I'm great.
All right. Should we do question of the week?
Why not?
Let's do that shit.
What are we doing?
Hey, so this actually... since
I really don't feel like doing question of the week, man. Okay. I'm just not in the mood.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show.
It's a segue. I'm not in the mood to do questions.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just not in the mood to play games. We'll do that on the second try.
It wasn't exactly an easy one to grab onto. I know, my fault.
That's what she said. Okay. So the question of the week is, have you guys ever been in a gaming rut? And if you have, why did you get to the gaming rut and what got you out of it? Mm-hmm. So have you ever gotten to a point where you just didn't really feel like playing games anymore? And you know, what broke you out of that trend? So that is the question of the week for next week. To answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail as well, just like Nabashin did. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's not leet, it is feet.
It is. Are you making a song out of it now?
Just a little jingle. Little something, something.
It's not leet, it's just feet. You can catch us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. That is that is Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is Geoff.
Geoff.
God. What did I start? You can check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, and Steam. Just search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us, I promise. And check us out on Retroids. Come over and talk to us on our forums. We'd appreciate it. That's all I have. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Nil.
Nope.
That's European speak for nothing. Or zero.
Or love, as tennis speak.
Well, if you guys have been playing Mass Effect 3, take a look on the website, interactivedistractions.com. Hopefully, the Mass Effect 3 spoiler show is up. If it's not, it should be soon. Because we are going to be recording that shortly. So that is something to look forward to as well. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to get hopes up, but I'm going to say that there is something about Indus that may be popping up again. Just going to give you the taste. So there you go.
A little something.
A little something.
Stewing that.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. If you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, leave us a review. We'd appreciate that as well. And, that's all I got. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy, guys.
See you next week.
See you next week.